with you folks this morning. I appreciate your prayers very much. You know, as I mentioned some names, I want you to think about them and see what comes to your mind. If I say Aaron, what do you think about? Or if I say Moses, Ruth, Adam. If I say Jonah, what comes to your mind when you hear Jonah? Now, a lot of times we have an idea of the different men or women in the Bible, or we have a stereotype of them, or we take things that are non-scripture and apply them to our idea about them. Even as missionaries, we have people that look at us and they kind of stereotype us. Oh, you're the missionaries, right? Yeah, we're the missionaries. You're the ones over in Asia? Yes, that's us, that's us. Oh, in China. Chinese are hard to reach. I hear that. We're in Japan. Reaching the Japanese. Oh, Japan. Oh, Japan, there are revivals left and right there, aren't there? That's just great. See what's happening there. No, I'm in Japan. 1% saved out of 127 million people. Jonah. Think, oh, Jonah. What do we know about him? Well, he was just an angry old man, wasn't he? Trying to run away from God. What was he thinking? We don't do that, do we? Was Jonah's problem, you know, trying to run away from God? Think, oh, the big fish. You know, that's probably the first thing that comes to mind, isn't it? Jonah and the big fish. But, you know, it wasn't too bad in that fish, was it? I mean, he was learning his alphabets and his numbers and on that little rowboat. And if he did good, he got stars and stickers, right? But Jonah, he had at least one good friend, didn't he? Well, till the end. You know, his short friend that was with him, the blue skin and the red hat. Was it a turban? You know, a lot of times we stereotype or we add other things into stories. This morning I'd like to take you back to God's Word. We're going to just do an overview of the book of Jonah. I won't preach through it verse by verse due to time this morning. I want to give you a big picture of this book. This is a rough time in the life of Jonah. So if you're not there yet, go ahead and turn to the book of Jonah, if you will. Now we see Jonah throughout Scripture, 2 Kings 14, Matthew 12, Matthew 16, Luke 11. But this is primarily where we actually read about Jonah, is in the book. Jonah. We'll start off in chapter 1, and then we'll read a few verses out of each chapter as we move through this book. But let's go ahead and open up in a word of prayer. God, we do thank you for who you are, that you are God, you alone. We recognize, God, that you are the Creator, that you created us, and that we are yours. We thank you, Lord, for the love that you have shown to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to be testimonies to those that are around us, telling them the good news. Help us to be bold. Give us wisdom. Help us to open up our mouths and tell, proclaiming your message. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Jonah, chapter 1, verse 2. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now there's a few things as we look at Jonah that we see, and one of the things that we see is obedience. We need to obey. Now this is a difficulty of Jonah's here, wasn't it? But when we say obey, what does that mean? And this is something I've repeated to my children over and over again. Malachi can probably get up and at least give this part of the message. Hopefully he remembers. But what is obedience? What is obedience? When I say obey, what does it mean? I like to describe it this way. Obey. Obey the first time, right away, all the way, with a happy heart. That's obedience. We need to obey the first time, right away, all the way, with a happy heart. In other words, it's not obedience. Now, as we look at these verses, we see God telling Jonah to arise and to go. Did Jonah obey? He didn't, did he? God says, arise, go to Nineveh, go immediately. Jonah, he arose, but he didn't arose or arise to go. He arose and he fled. He fled. Nineveh was in the northeast, and Jonah, he fled to the furthermost west. That's not obedience. It's not obedience. Chapter 1, I like to say, is where Jonah passes. God gives him a command, and Jonah says, no, God, I pass on that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. Now, why didn't Jonah obey God? I mean, here's a prophet of God. Why didn't he do what he was told? Well, you read later in chapter 4, we'll come to that. Jonah mentions why, but you know, maybe there's some other things as well. We're not for sure, but we do know during that time the Assyrians, they were a thorn in the side of Israel. And of course, the Nineveh was a capital of Assyria. And so maybe Jonah didn't want to be the one to go and tell his enemies about God. Maybe he didn't want to do that. And he might may have thought, well, you know, I don't want to go and do that. I don't want to go and do that. Maybe he was running from God in the sense of, God, I don't want to serve you in this capacity. I don't want to be the one to go and tell the Ninevites. Maybe he was running from the presence of God in the temple, trying to get as far away from Jerusalem as possible. You know, often we have people ask us about Japan and the different types of cultures and aspects and the people and what they think of us. And it's interesting. Actually, I had one person ask us and said, well, why are you going to Japan? Can't you go anywhere else? Can't you go anywhere else? And the premise of this question was from his past history with the Japanese people. And this individual still having this hatred for the Japanese from the war. And I'm not saying we should forget the past, but what is it that the Japanese people really need? We saw MacArthur say it. One of the greatest things the Japanese need are missionaries to tell them about the good news of Jesus Christ. And that's still one of the greatest needs today. What if God called you to Russia? Would you say, no, God, pass on that. Not going to serve you there. Or Iraq. Would you say, no, God, not going to do that. No way. What if you were able to go to North Korea and tell people there about the gospel? Would you say, no, God, they're my enemy. I'm not going to tell them. Don't pass on God. Don't tell him no. Serve him and obey. Obey what God tells you to do. So Jonah, you know the story. He gets on the boat, goes out to sea. Big storm came up, didn't it? And it got bad. It got really bad. The sailors, they were afraid. They didn't know what to do. They were doing everything they could. Throwing cargo over. Crying to their idols, to their gods. In Japan, we have similar instance of the Japanese. If you turn over to Psalm 115, you read about idols there, stone-carved idols. And we have that in Japan, at the temples and the shrines, alongside the roads. Idols that have eyes that can't see, noses can't smell, ears that can't hear, mouths that can't speak. Carved by men's hands. Well, here in America, we often describe idols differently, don't we? We say, well, an idol might be shows or TV stars, sports. But what is an idol? I mean, we say all these things are idols. What is an idol? Anything or anyone that you put before God is an idol. In Japan, it might be a stone carved image. Here, it might be an actor or actress. Anything that you put before God. These men, they're crying to their gods. And does it do them any good? No. It doesn't do them any good at all. Just like when we see the Japanese people go up to the shrines or the temples and they clap their hands to awake the gods and they bow, they ring bells to get their attention. It doesn't do them any good at all, does it? these men probably have been on the sea multiple times, probably been on instances of storms before. But these men, they were afraid, weren't they? They didn't know what to do. They had no idea. The captain of the ship, we see, wakes Jonah up. He was sleeping. Says, "Jonah, who are you? What's going on?" Jonah tells him. Says, "I serve the God of the heavens, the one who created the land and the dry sea." And then what? They were afraid, weren't they? They were afraid. They said, "Jonah, what do we do?" He says, "Throw me overboard." Did they throw him overboard? Look at the text. Not right away. Why not? I don't know. But it's interesting, isn't it? Here's these pagans. They know what they need to do to be saved. Throwing him overboard. But they didn't do it right away. "Row harder. Row harder," it said. Maybe they had compassion, knowing that if they threw Jonah over, he would surely die in the storm. Yet here's Jonah not wanting to go to Nineveh. Metropolitan city. Thousands of people in it. What a difference. I'm not sure why. But eventually what happens? They throw him over, right? They throw him over. And then a big fish comes, swallows Jonah up, doesn't it? Swallows Jonah up. This wasn't a good time for Jonah. Chapter 1, Jonah passes. Chapter 2, Jonah prays. Flip over to chapter 2 with me. Chapter 2, verse 1. "Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly." Now, as believers, don't wait. Don't wait in your instance of being caught in a fish's belly to pray to God. Don't wait until that point that you have no idea what to do or you're stuck and now, okay, I'm going to pray. Don't wait until then. Look at some of the descriptions here from verses 2 to 4. "Out of the belly of hell, cast into the deep, in the midst of the sea, the floods surround him, the ocean and current engulfed him, the waters were around him, the deep closed around him, the weeds wrapped around his head. He went down to the bottoms of the mountain, seemed cast out of the sight of the Lord. Yet," verse 4, "Jonah looked again towards his holy temple. Verse 6, brought up my life from corruption." Down in verse 8, "They that observe lying vanities or who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. But Jonah will sacrifice unto God," verse 9, "with a voice of thanksgiving, paying what he has vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." Salvation is of the Lord. As believers, God wants you to pray to him always. All the time. In the big things or in the little things. Don't just pray to him about the big things. Don't just pray to him about the little things. But be in prayer to the Lord all the time. As we think about prayer, what do we think about? Often we think about supplication, asking for God to do this or to do that. You've probably heard of the acronym ACTS before. Praying in adoration with a deep love and respect. Worshiping and honoring who God is. Confession, acknowledging or admitting your sins with a repentance. Thanksgiving, thanking God, publicly thanking him. And yes, supplication. This is one thing that we've seen as we've been back in the States is a decline in prayer meetings. I'm not sure how your folks are attending here, but if you're not coming to your prayer meetings, I would urge you to come together, to pray publicly together with one another. This is important. This is important to be praying to God as a group, as a body. How does God respond? Verse 10. "The Lord spoke to the fish and it vomited Jonah onto the dry land." We need to be obeying God. Don't pass on him. And we need to be in prayer to him. But don't wait until you're caught in that belly of the fish. Chapter 3. Chapter 3. Verse 1. "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Chapter 3, we see Jonah preaching. Now, it's interesting here as we look at what God tells him to do. Verse 2 says, "Arise and go." Do you remember what he said in chapter 1? Arise and go. If we look at the original text here, he didn't change his words. It's the same. It's the exact same words. Now, as a parent, I often think of illustrations with my children and other children. And this happens to us as parents, doesn't it? Sometimes we'll say, "Hey, I want you to pick up your toys. Clean them all up. The living room's a mess." 45 minutes later, we don't have hardly any toys picked up, do we? There's a correction. And then we say, "Hey, pick up half your toys." God didn't change here, did he, in what he told Jonah to do? Arise and go. When Jonah said no, there's correction. And then God said, "Arise and go, I'll have someone else tell. You just get halfway. I'll have another prophet there and they'll tell Nineveh." No. He said the exact same thing to Jonah. "Arise and go. I want you to arise and go, okay? We've dealt with this. Now arise and go. Do what I told you to do." Maybe as grandparents, we have that with our grandchildren. They're over at the house and they're jumping up and down on the furniture. "Stop it. Stop it. Okay, you know what? Just jump on that side of the couch. That's grandma's side." We need to follow through with what we tell our children what to do. They need to obey. They need to be obedient. Obeying the first time, right away, all the way with a happy heart. This is the second time God has told Jonah to arise and go. Does Jonah obey this time? He arises and he goes, but remember obedience. Obeying the first time, right away, all the way, with a happy heart. We know from the story, Jonah is not having a happy heart. But here we do see that he arise and he went. Now, as I think of Nineveh and as I think of Japan, I kind of have that comparison there. We know the Ninevites, they were pagan people. In Japan, we have the same thing. Pagans, sinners, unbelievers, lost. Nineveh, a metropolitan city, we see multiple cities in Japan with masses of people. The greater area of Tokyo is somewhere between 35 and 42 million people. The greater area of Tokyo, 35 to 42 million. Yokohama, over 3.5 million people. Osaka, over 3.5 million people. Nagoya, over 2.2. Kobe, over 1.5 million. Multiple cities in Japan with over 1 million people in it. Lost on their way to hell. Now, Nineveh's response, verses 5 through 9. We see the people there, they believed God. They believed in God. Jonah proclaims the message that God tells him, and they believe. They repent. They turn from their evil ways, and they turn to serve God. This is the second thing that we see here in the book of Jonah. Not only as believers we need to be obedient, we need to be telling people the message that God has told us to tell, which is the message of Jesus Christ, that they can have salvation through him. And if you're here this morning, you can have salvation through Jesus Christ. You need to confess that Jesus is Lord. Believe that God has raised him from the dead. And you need to turn from your evil ways and your sinful ways, serving God as you turn and serve him. The people here, they responded to the message. They put on sackcloths, they fasted, and cried out to God. And in verse 10, we see that God saw their works, their deeds, the actions that they had done, and how they turned from their ways to serve him. And God relented of the disaster that he was going to have upon the Ninevites at that time. We need to be obedient to God, obeying him. obeying him the first time right away, all the way, with a happy heart. And here's where Jonah in chapter 4 shows a little bit closer that his heart is not happy. Chapter 4, verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. He became angry. Chapter 1, we saw that Jonah passes. Chapter 2, Jonah prays. Chapter 3, Jonah preaches. In chapter 4, Jonah pouts. He pouts. Now, I had to stick with the P's, but it doesn't really encompass how Jonah was. He was mad. He was upset and angry. He was fierce. And here we learn about why Jonah, in some ways, didn't want to go. Verse 2 says, well, this is why I fled. I know, God, that you're a gracious God, a merciful God, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness, and you are one who relents from doing harm. That's why I fled, God. That's why I fled. Aren't you glad that we have a God, though, that is compassionate? We see here the Ninevites. It says there's 120,000 people. They don't know their right hand from their left. But here we see God telling Jonah to go and tell them about him. Possibly 600,000 people in the city of Nineveh. 600,000. Jonah, he sets outside the city and he waits, though. He waits to see what's going to happen. What's God going to do? He sets and he looks upon the city. We see that God prepares a plant, doesn't he? But then God prepares a worm. God says, Jonah, is it right for you to be angry? Of course, we know the answer is no, isn't it? You know, as a parent, this happens sometimes as I look at my children. I say, hey, is it right for you to be angry? Of course, the answer is no. But as parents, maybe you've seen the response being, yeah, it's right, it's okay, I'm right, it's not my fault, it was him. There's a heart attitude, isn't there? There's a problem with obedience. God asks him again, is it right for you to be angry? You didn't do anything for that plant. Look at all these people. Yes, it's right for me to be angry, he says. Unto death. He was so mad he wanted to die. We don't know what happened to Jonah after that. How long he may have sat outside the city in anger and sulking. And I hope, or like to think, that it didn't take him too long and he made it right with God. But believers, don't get mad at what God does. When you see that person saved, rejoice in it. Be excited. When you see God working in someone else's life and blessing someone, don't look at yourself and say, why isn't he blessing me more? Look at me, look at me. What about me? But be happy and thankful for what God is doing. As we think of Jonah, learn from him. Learn to be obedient to God. Of course, to know God, we need to be in his word and studying it, meditating upon it, memorizing it, be in church, at the services, under the word and the teaching. Obey the first time, right away, all the way, with a happy heart. Don't pass on what God tells you to do. Be in prayer. Praying all the time about the big things, about the little things. Proclaim his message to those that are around you. It's not just the missionary's job. It's not just the pastor's job. It's all of our job to be telling others about Jesus Christ. There's people in your life that I will never see, that pastor might never see. Don't stop at prayer. Go across the street and knock on the door too. Open up your mouth and tell them about Jesus Christ. And as God works in lives, don't pout, don't get angry, don't get mad, but rejoice. Rejoice in what God is doing. As you think about Jonah, Aaron, Ruth, Joshua, don't grab children's books and videos and games and apply them to the Scripture, but get into God's Word and study it. Know the stories from His Word and take His Word and apply it to your life. And make sure as you teach it to your children and your grandchildren, and as you instruct them from God's Word, this is what we're passing down. The truth of His Word. Let us pray together. God, we do thank You that we have Your Word. We thank You for the availability and the freedom that we have here in this country to gather together, that we can proclaim it, that we can preach it, that we can tell others about Your Son. Yet, Lord, there's times that we are afraid. We're not sure what to say. But even at those times, Lord, help us to be bold. Help us to open up our mouths and tell what You've done and the compassion and love that You've had through Your Son. Lord, help us to be obedient to You. Help us not to be like Jonah. Help us to obey. Help us to follow You and Your commands. Lord, if there's one here this morning that does not know You, I pray that they would stop and they would think about where they stand with You, where they stand in eternity. And Lord, I pray that they would ask one of the men of the church, pastor, before they leave today, on how they can know for certain that they can spend eternity with You. We thank You, Lord, for the love that You've shown through Jesus Christ, dying on the cross for our sins. It's in Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.
Thank you, Daniel. Pray for their family. They are among the 1% in Japan sharing the gospel. Sharing the gospel. So keep them in prayer. Visit their table and pick up a prayer card. Sign up if you aren't a part of their receiving their newsletter. You can do that. Talk with them afterwards. Let me bring it home as well if I can. You may be the 1% where you work. You may be the 1% in your family that know Christ. So you have a mission field around. You may never get to Japan. You may never get to another country. God may be calling you as that 1% to speak to those who need the gospel, who need to be saved. So visit them afterwards. Visit with Isabella as well. Glad you're here, young lady, and hope you enjoy your stay here. And Randy, come and lead us in our closing hymn.
I'll stand 505, please.